Time to recap. First, McCook City Council meeting for the month of May. In our studios this morning, City Manager Nate Schneider. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rich?
Doing great. Doing good. You had to bring this guy back, didn't you?
I brought the ace. So
the ace.
He's throwing fastballs today.
Right. So well, Gene's the closer. So
he's the closer.
He's throwing.
Jared's crafty.
The setup guy.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, we got the ace. We've got Clayton Kershaw here today.
Yeah.
I blow it in the first. That's possible.
I'm not talking about playoffs, Clayton Kershaw. I'm talking about regular season.
There you go. Jared Muhlenkamp, how you doing, Jared?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rich?
I'm doing good. Good to have you back once again as we're into the month of May, guys. And, boy, I tell you, the agenda is a little thick today.
We had a lot of stuff. There's a lot of good stuff going on right now, so it was a good meeting last night.
Let's get right to the agenda. Anything first, announcements and recognitions last night?
We had a planning commission meeting May 8th at 5:15, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then there's application for a minor subdivision and a rezone on that.
Yep.
We'll go right into public hearings. Had one last night, a report from the EDC, Citizens Advisory Review Committee.
It's Charlie and Sean Wolf, Charlie McPherson, Sean Wolf, they're there to report. A lot of it, we talked a lot about the early childhood development, and that was a three-year contract. Andy Long kind of spearheaded that back when he was the EDC director, and so that's 3 years has lapsed now, which it seems like it's gone super quick. But with that, they talked a lot about how they are trying to keep that program going, and they've had a few different supporters throughout the community pledge three-year agreements to keep that early childhood development going. And so that should, for the next 3 years at least, be present in our community. And then they talked a little bit about different projects. A lot of it was really workforce housing and different things like that. So there's a lot of numbers thrown around last night. But I think after all said and done with different grants, I think we could have possibly somewhere over $1 million in funds for workforce housing. So that's really, really awesome that we got that going. I think we're like somewhere around 200 houses units that we really need. So I know they've been really focusing on that. So that's great.
All right.
Yeah, that's the priority over at MEDC right now is there are multiple priorities, but that is at the very top of the list, developing housing in McCook. And so the other things that were mentioned kind of tie into that. There's some uncommitted funds that the MEDC is wanting to use LB 844 for housing at the North Point subdivision, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. And then also there are uncommitted funds through LB 844 industrial park expansion efforts. So, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit as well, too. So two pretty big things off in the horizon that LB 840 is going to be used for, and kind of an exciting time for McCook.
Had a couple of proclamations as well.
Yeah, we had the police? I can't remember.
Police, yep. We had the Police Week proclamation.
Police, and then we also had Drinking Water Week. And Pat talked a lot about, which I thought was kind of interesting, we had 53 miles of pipes within the city of McCook, which underneath you don't really think about that, but yeah.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah. That's a lot of pipe.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pipe. And then he also talked about the different department heads within the water and then the wastewater treatment. So Tyrell Riggs, I think he's the department head on the water superintendent. And then Trevor Van Pelt, he's in there. And then Nathaniel Chitwood, Ryan Van Pelt, Bennett Thorpe, is that correct?
Correct.
And then Jared Doyle, he's on the water treatment. And Michael Stark, which he's not related to Tony Stark. Which is?
Are you sure?
You never know.
And Jessica Cock, and they talked a lot about how long they were. I wasn't able to write fast enough. I probably should have stopped and talked with Pat about that. But all those people that that are providing drinking water to, you know, our residents and things. And I know they do a lot of work, and sometimes they're not recognized, and we really appreciate everything that they do there.
Been working on the West Water Tower this week.
Yeah, so West Water Tower is done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's done, and then they're going to move on to the East Water Tower here in the near future. Mm-hmm. So one thing that he had pointed out, the people that Jared had just spoke about that work for the water department, a lot of them either have their grade 3 or their grade 4 operators licenses. So they're certified, they're very trained, they know what they're doing. A lot of them have their CDLs. We've got great people in the water department in general, and it's one of the departments that we have some youth in, which is kind of exciting as well, too. We had our tour of McCook this last Friday, and I think that we all kind of realized that we have great employees that are getting close to retirement age, and, mm-hmm. and so we got to figure out how we're going to replace them. On the water department side, that's not as big of an issue because we do have a lot of youth there. So that's exciting.
I do want to mention on that, we talked with, on the tour, we talked with Pat, and he had mentioned on the water treatment side, possibly doing some scheduled times where kids could come out and tour the plant, or adults even. So I think that would be great, and people could kind of understand where their water's coming from. It's not just simple.
Mm-hmm.
You turn on the faucet and your water's there, right? So it is pretty fascinating, all that goes into that.
And then the police department side, Chief Smith got up and spoke about just the dedication that our officers show. And we talked about our police officers a little bit later on as well, too, as far as collective bargaining agreements and trying to figure out ways to make sure that we're staffed properly. Mm-hmm. But he had mentioned how dangerous a job it was. He had given some stats as far as officers that were killed in the line of duty here over the last few years and how those numbers have gone up and how there's a lot of sacrifices that those people make and a lot of uncertainty with that job. So we appreciate everything that our police department does. Mm-hmm. Great guys and gals that work over there, and we're very fortunate to have the people that we do.
We move on. Consent agenda from last night, and had a few items there. Anything pulled for discussion?
Nothing pulled.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's because we had so much other stuff on the regular agenda. let's go ahead and move forward. So we did have some good things on there, though. We are going to have the approval was made for the annual Cruising on the Bricks Cruise Night and Car Show. That's going to be on Saturday, June 24th from 6 a.m. To 8 p.m. That's when the streets are going to be closed for the event.
And that's all part. That's all part of during Crazy Days.
Yes. 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 Yep. Mm-hmm. And then also we awarded a bid or an award to Professional Ambulance Services for the new ambulance. The lowest responsible bid was $347,359. There is $75,000 that we received in grant funds to assist with that. We'll pay this off over a period of time. We've got some funds either in reserves through the ambulance reserve fund, other funding sources on the fire department side that we can budget over the course of the next few years to pay for that. We also approved blocking off parking along the east side of West 1st Street between West C Street and the entrance into the Wells Fargo parking garage for a period of time between May 12th through a time not to exceed June 9th for the painting of a mural on the west side of the old Ben Franklin building. Mike DeVinny was gracious enough to allow for the mural to be painted there. So So we got some neat things that are going on. And then we had some SDLs and things like that as well, too. So some mechanical items, just procedural items, and then some items that I think will be of interest to the people here in McCook here in the near future. So
those ambulance, of course, vehicles, a must-have, and they've got to be updated every now and then, don't they?
The amount of technology that's in there and amount of just circuitry and different things that can go wrong, and so they have to be updated, serviced, all that very often, and so it's not cheap, but it's also things that you have to have. Mm-hmm. So
we have three ambulances in our fleet, And the lifetime, or the, you're supposed to be replacing in our rotation every 7 years an ambulance. This actually would replace the 2007 ambulance. So it's been in operation for quite some time. So we're just trying to stay true to our rotation. And we were fortunate enough to get this grant. Our fire department does a great job of trying to locate funds so that way we can try to offset some of the costs. But if we don't update these things, it could create issues for the public. We want to make sure that our ambulances and fire safety equipment, they're updated and new, so we don't have problems or issues. And it's not just for the city of McCook. We try to make sure, you know, we help everybody that are in our interlocal agreements as well, too, whether it's going through you know, training together, working with one another for training, or doing intercepts. You know, we do that a lot with our ambulances for our neighboring communities, and that's a service that we're happy to be able to provide.
Council recessed as a city council and met of the Community Development Agency.
I always get confused when we go into the CDA because then you got to go out. I actually jumped in the gun last night. Yeah, so the CDA met last night because we had. Kind of talking about some exciting stuff that Charlie and Sean spoke about when they were doing the LB 840 presentation at the very beginning of the meeting. We updated a redevelopment plan for the North Point Phase 2 portion of the housing project just north of the fairgrounds. And that project contemplates 27 houses ultimately. This phase, I think if I remember correctly, was about 17 houses. The phase two is going to be 17 houses. It breaks the phases into two, or there are two additional phases. So the first phase was R Street. So the six houses on R Street got built out between 2015 and 2017. The next two phases, phase two and phase three, I think one of the phases, the second phase, has 17 houses included, and the third phase, I think, has 8 houses. So I think my math might be off. I think it's 25 houses that they're talking about as part of the redevelopment plan. But we had to update the redevelopment plan. We had to update the valuation of those properties to reflect current day values because our plan was approved in 2021. So 2 years have elapsed, and we know that there's been assessed valuation increases due to inflation. And so we had penciled in $220,000 for each lot. It's actually closer to $320,000 based upon current estimates, which is going to increase the amount of assessed valuation bump ups from $5 million to about $7.5 million. Which means there's going to be more TIF to do some of the public improvements that we need to do with these projects. And then, like I said, you know, we broke it into the two phases. It's going to be done over a period of time. The first phase number two, is broken into about a six-year period of time. Like I said, there'd be 17 houses that would be done over that period. And then the next phase would be 8 years, and that's a three-year period of time that we're going to break that into to make everything work. So all that had to be spelled out in the redevelopment plan. When we brought the 2021 redevelopment plan to the council, there wasn't a lot of meat to that plan. But now we're starting to get a little bit deeper into how this is going to get built out, how we want to time things, how we want to make sure that we maximize the tax increment financing to pay off any bonds that might be levied in order to make sure that we're able to build out the public infrastructure. Because this all, we cannot find developers that want to come to McCook and build the infrastructure. So we're going to have to figure out ways to build the infrastructure ourselves to make it more attractive for the developers to come. So the MEDC and the city of McCook are taking a proactive stance saying we're going to go ahead and build these things out. We're going to use LB 840 funds. Ultimately, those LB 840 funds then will be replenished when we get those taxes repaid. And there are some requirements in our next section when we talk about the contract. MEDC has to make some guarantees as far as what these lot prices are going to be, so that way we know we're going to get those dollars paid back. The city of McCook won't be on the hook for this. It'll be MEDC. But there are things that if we don't do as a community, it's never going to get done. And we know that. And so we're looking at trying to build out streets, water, sewer, sidewalks, lighting, looking at trying to do West 7th Street. There'd be two streets east-west that would be part of this project. 9th Street that would extend north, south. So that way we've got everything interconnected so we could send fire trucks, we can send ambulances, we can send trash trucks all the way through the neighborhood. So we've got a circuit to make it so it's an actual neighborhood when we're not dealing with cul-de-sacs and whatnot. This has been thought out over a long period of time. We've done a lot of platting and brainstorming, trying to figure out the best way to make this work. This has been in the works since 2015. So I can truly say it's been a labor of love, and I'm excited that MEDC is stepping up to the forefront and leading the charge on this. If it wasn't for MEDC, this wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm. And TIF as well.
Okay.
We've utilized TIF a lot, like Mayor Taylor said last night. She said TIF has been a really good thing for our community, and we have utilized it a lot, and so moving forward.
So you came back as a council after that? That was the first agenda item.
So the CDA, which is the council, they just put on a different hat. They, as part of the community development law, they have to go ahead and approve redevelopment plans and redevelopment contracts. Then also, after you do that, the council has to approve that same resolution on the contract. The contract itself just basically set the terms up between the MEDC and the City of McCook CDA with respect to what MEDC's obligations will be. They are going to receive tax increment financing for a period of 15 years plus some time in order to allow for development to kind of proceed naturally, because you're not probably going to find a developer that's going to build 17 houses in 1 year. That's just not going to happen in McCook. But if we could do 3 houses in 1 year, and the next year we do 5 houses, and the next year we do 2 houses, and the next year we do 3 houses, before you know it, you've got a 17-unit housing development. But you want to make sure that you're capturing all 15 years for each one. So we would have to file separate paperwork, a notice to divide with the county, every single year to show all the new properties that are up and going, so we can divide those taxes out, or that valuation out, so that way that base year will be different for each of those properties, and then that assessed valuation increase will be captured then for the full length that we possibly can to maximize our TIF, to assure that we're not putting the MEDC in a situation where they're not getting repaid for the work that they're paying for. So complicated. I could talk about it forever. I don't really want to. Everybody's waking up right now. But this is the same contract that we've used in the past. We're using the same attorney that we've used in the past. Andrew Willis is our TIF specialist, and we've used him for years now. I feel really good about this one. This one truly is near and dear to my heart, because I was in on this thing on the ground floor back in 2015. And we hear it all the time, there's not enough housing in McCook, and we've tried to bring in developers privately to do these projects. And this isn't going to be the City of McCook that's going to build these out. I mean, this is going to be private developers that build the houses. We're just getting the infrastructure in place so that way the developers can come in and maybe not get into a situation where it's not a profitable venture for them, because that's what we're struggling with right now. Right now it's too expensive to build houses on a small scale scope. And developers are saying, well, we can't come to McCook because we've got not only the houses that we have to build, you know, and dealing with price increases and whatnot, but we also have to develop the infrastructure, which is basically throwing us out of any developers' minds with respect to any projects they may want to do. So,
all right. We move on. Ordinance annexation of attractive land located southwest quarter of Section 28. Owned by Perry and Vicky Case?
Yeah, that's Industrial Park. Basically, we've run out of space for different businesses or anyone wanting to come into town. I think there might be someone coming, Ag Base coming to town. I don't really know the whole story on that. That's more of Charlie's thing. But we've ran out of room, so we just wanted to annex that in and make sure that we can grow and bring jobs to McCook.
This is kind of like the second prong of what we were talking about with the LB 840 group at the beginning of the meeting. First of all, we dealt with residential. Here we're talking about bringing industry to the community. So we've worked really hard again over the last 8 years to try to get the industrial park filled. When I was city attorney starting off, There was one lot that was filled that was Silverstone. Since that time, we filled every lot. The last lot's under contract right now, or close to being under contract. So now we got to find a spot for industry to build out. And it's got to be in a specific area. So industry can't just go anywhere. You can't put an industry into a residential district or even to a business commercial district because it just doesn't fit.
And most want rail access as well in these.
Yeah, so this property would actually just be east of the industrial park. It's got to be annexed in so that way they can utilize tax increment financing. Right now we are going through the process. Miller & Associates is working with the city of McCook to conduct a blight and substandard study, so TIF could be part of these development processes. One of the things that Jared had talked about at the beginning, we've got a planning commission meeting where we're going to be talking about a subdivision project and a rezone project. Well, that's this area out there. We're going to subdivide that into four separate lots for new industries that will have rail access, which could lead to further development in the future. And also, we're going to rezone it from ag to industrial, so that way permitted principal uses are a good fit. The industrial permitted principal uses are a fit. So a lot of things that we still have to do, but like Jared had mentioned, there are businesses that are looking at moving to McCook. They have certain things that they want. There are certain things that we're trying to make happen. And this is good for McCook because it increases the tax base for everyone. So hopefully it's going to mean lower or moderate property taxes, because the more people that are paying property tax, the more pie there is to spread around to the taxing entities. And so this is a good thing for the community. Looking forward to working through these processes. The annexation was kind of the first piece of the puzzle, but there's a lot more to come.
Update regarding the swimming pool and ballpark projects.
Oh, yeah. Seems like that's an ongoing thing. I mean, you guys have been meeting quite regularly on these different. I think the pool is. We talked with Crothers and the engineers about the price, and we might need to actually scale down a tad on different things. I think we mentioned the Vortex pool, which I didn't know what that was.
I didn't know what it was either.
I said, is that like a hot tub time machine or something?
It's spins you around really fast, but it's a pool within the Lazy River. Yep. And I think it just kind of got added on during the course of conversations, but the Lazy River was kind of the primary. And when we did our survey, the Vortex pool wasn't really included with the Lazy River conversation. But somehow it got added, so we're talking about maybe eliminating that
and then
bring the cost down.
The slide, that was kind of a – you said Waverly, because Crothers also is doing Waverly's pool right now, and they've said that basically our pool is – what was it, like 20 foot?
We have a 20-foot slide, and Waverly had a 14-foot slide, which adds quite a bit to the cost of the slide. Yeah. You're talking about fiberglass, and anytime right now you talk about fiberglass, you're talking about an expense. So,
or any material for that matter, concrete or whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything has gone way up with inflation. But so we're trying to do some value engineering, I guess you could say, and try to get the cost down a little bit to what our bond issue was, $6 million.
Yeah, we were guessing $6 million. When we met with the swimming pool committee and our engineer and Carruthers, the construction managing firm, that price bumped up 20%, $7.2 million. Yep. And so we're trying to figure out how to bring that number down so that way we get a great swimming pool. And no matter what we do, I mean, Carruthers has said, you guys are getting a fantastic swimming pool with the money that we're going to have available to do this. But we also, on the flip side, have a ballpark that we're working on as well, too. And so we're trying to make sure that we can do both projects. And for sure, the commitment to that swimming pool, that is there. I think that everybody knows that swimming pool needs to go immediately. Mm-hmm. And our plan is to build that out this summer and through the fall and through the winter and into the early spring. So that way it's going to be open next Memorial Day to the beginning of June. I can't say specifically when that date's going to be, but I think Carruthers feels pretty comfortable with that. But we also need to make sure that we aren't exceeding our original value and blowing up our opportunity to do the ballpark project. And so we are working through, and our building was a value engineered building. So the municipal facility that the city of McCook operates out of, that was a value engineered building. And our original estimates
that our engineer gave us for the pool, when we got down to brass tacks and started pricing it, it was much less than what the actual figure was. So we had to price some things out. So lost the basement, lost some storage, some things like that. But that's okay. You have to figure out a way to compromise so that way you can get something really good for your community and do it in an economical way. So, and the other thing that I mentioned last night, we do have the CCCFF grant in the amount of $562,000 plus the Masonic Temple gift of $250,000. As long as we don't exceed what that original concept was, that's going to be available for us. And so we have some dollars there. Like I said, we've got to be realistic mm-hmm. about these prices. I don't think there's another – Waverly's pool is a $6.1 million swimming pool. That was last year, and those cost increases have bumped ours up. But it'll be a similar type of pool when it's all said and done.
And I think that it's we want to keep basically what the pool committee had in there. You know, basically it's going to be the same. There's just going to be some small changes that help out the budget a little bit. We talked about the pool troughs instead of having a trough that comes down where you don't have to have a lifeguard. That's actually, we initially were told that it was cheaper, but now actually they're saying that's actually more expensive. So it dumping into the pool, the slide dumping into the pool is actually going to be a little bit cheaper for it. Mm-hmm. Would you say like $100,000 cheaper or something like that? Or?
No, they're getting the estimates. Once we get the estimates back from Carruthers, we'll have a pretty... They're going back to the drawing board after our conversation with the swimming pool committee. They're going to price some of these things. There are also some additional vendors they're going to reach out to see if they can't get some lower prices, which that's awesome. You know, if we can get some more input from other vendors and find some cheaper options or opportunities, that's what we're going to do. But Carruthers has got to get to a number that they're comfortable with and that we're comfortable with so we can build out that contract. We establish the guaranteed maximum price, which they cannot exceed. It's going to be kind of a conservative. They're budgeting conservatively because they don't want to lose money on the project. And so we got to come up with a number everybody feels comfortable with. Then we'll go ahead and take a bond ordinance to the council with that number saying we're going to issue the bonds. Then those bonds will get issued. Then that project's going to start going full-fledged crazy mode. So we're looking forward to getting through that, but it's going to take some time. We're going to get back together with the swimming pool committee once Carruthers has repriced some of these things. And then once we do that and have a better feel for where we're at after looking at maybe some other options, then the pool committee will either have some more discussions or say, hey, we're at where we need to be, and let's go ahead and move forward with this and take it to the council for the bond ordinance. Mm-hmm.
By the way, Hot Tub Time Machine was a great movie. Great movie.
It was funny.
That was a funny movie.
It was unexpectedly funny.
Yeah.
So, on the ballpark, too, I know we got to get going here, but ballpark, we had a discussion with the stakeholders working on a real estate purchase agreement with the community McCook College Foundation. I know the College Foundation is talking about looking at starting the fundraising process. There are some pieces that we're waiting on. MPPD is working on a study that's going to show the impact of the ballpark to our community. We talked about, from a city perspective, there aren't any SRF funds available for us to extend water out there, so we're looking at different options to get water out there. Originally, we talked about a well system. That's probably not going to work. It won't work, and so we got to get water out there. I think that was kind of the gist of the conversation. We talked about grants, who's going to be responsible for writing which grants. In some cases, it's probably going to be the College Foundation. In some cases, it may be the city of McCook. We'll just kind of see how everything flows. So, but that was it for the ballpark and the swimming pool.
Brief presentation, city attorney, regarding the land bank progress.
I think we're going to move forward with the land bank with fewer communities than what we had originally anticipated, but I think we got the green light from the council last night to start working on the documents. So Nate Mustin and Lisa Schifflet are working on that. I expect Nate Mustin to have something in front of the council here relatively shortly.
Council comments already. Anything last night?
I just mentioned I wanted to thank United Methodist Church for allowing us to use their bus. It's a great bus if you see it going around there. So we were able to take everybody around to see all the different departments and how the city functions. And also wanted to thank the department heads and everyone else that gave us tours that day, and also the public that came out to see how the city functions. It's really It doesn't seem like much on the surface, but when you get into the inner workings, it's like, wow, this is it's pretty crazy. Especially the water side.
Water and wastewater.
Water and wastewater, yeah. Both of those and John White, is that he gave us a tour, and he's a really good tour guide.
He's fantastic. He might be able to moonlight as a tour guide over at the Norris House. He's good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So I want to thank all of them for taking us through and dealing with all of our questions and things. And so we're just, you know, the public is curious about how things work, and so I'm assuming we'll probably do another one of these
every couple of years. Every couple of years we're going to keep on doing this. And then if anybody ever has questions, y'all, and I know. I mean, I don't get on Facebook a whole lot. I kind of got away from it. But I know sometimes people would prefer to go to Facebook and ask questions. Sometimes just ask, go to the source. I mean, City of McCook, we've got personnel that are available to take questions. We're happy to answer questions. You know, I think that it would resolve maybe some of the issues as far as consternation with the City of McCook if they understood maybe a little bit more how things were working or how we were dealing with certain issues, because there's a lot of thought that goes into this, and there are a lot of good people that are working on these projects to make the City of McCook a better place. So again, I know sometimes it's fun to get on Facebook or whatever and air your grievances, but maybe try another alternative and just talk to the source.
Just
it's
ask.
Not a hard thing to do. We're
just
all
ask.
There.
Yep. So just ask. Yeah. Executive session after that, and anything you can.
Yeah, we are going to revise our. So after we got out of executive session, we've been working Chief Smith and then the FOP and myself. We've been working out ways to address staffing shortage issues, and so. We know this summer is going to be kind of tough because we were having some people that are retiring. We have an individual that's going to transfer to another department. I know, you know, Kevin Darling is over at the Sheriff's Department now, and so we're short on staff a little bit. And so we needed to figure out some way to make sure that people that were at the top end of their vacation bank weren't losing vacation time per the collective bargaining agreement. And so we've got a pay down structure for up to 24 hours of vacation time if you're at the very top end of the vacation bank, subject to whatever your tenure is with the City of McCook. We're going to buy that down, and then they can build that back up. We expect this probably – we're going to keep this in here permanently, but probably it's not going to be a huge issue in future years. But this summer may be the year where you might see, you know, us needing to use this. The other thing that we did, we got the authority from the FOP to go ahead and begin certified officers with the state of Nebraska anywhere on the pay scale. Currently, they're at steps 1, 2, or 3 as far as where they can start if they on the pay scale if they are certified in the state of Nebraska. Now this is going to allow Chief Smith to start them anywhere from step 1 to step 8 to make us more competitive with other communities. And if we can get a certified officer that can step in right away, that doesn't have to go to Grand Island for training, has to only go through an abbreviated FTO process, that's going to be good for the City of McCook. And so we appreciate working with the collective bargaining unit on these things. I think we all see the importance of bringing in the certified officers from the state of Nebraska, if at all possible, because we can probably fit them in more seamlessly than trying to bring in new people. Not to say new people aren't great, and we have 3 new officers that we just sent down to Grand Island this week, which we're really excited about. But if we can plug and play right now, that's probably the best thing for the City of McCook.
Yep. Next regular City Council meeting coming up on the 15th?
15th, correct.
Planning Commission next week?
Yes, Planning Commission next week.
On the 8th.